I'm so glad that God does deliver again. There's so many times throughout Scripture that we can see that God has delivered for us. I'm so thankful for that song as well that we sang, It Is Well With My Soul, that third verse. So glad that not just part of my sin, but every bit of my sin was taken care of on the cross. And I'm so glad that God has done that for me, and He can do that for you. If you've never been saved today, it would be a good day for you to do that. Sunday school lesson was great. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that lesson. And the story is so true. When we look through Scripture and we see so many times that God wants to get our attention. And I mean, when Balaam was going and over and over again, the donkey veers off the path and he beats the donkey. The donkey runs his leg into the wall because he's just not paying attention. And then finally, the donkey just sits down and he beats the donkey. And God basically like, listen, I'm trying to get your attention here. And he wasn't even taken back that the donkey started talking to him. And that just amazes me. But you know, so often in Scripture and in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that he hath ears to hear, let him hear. He also pointed out, and he was talking about hurricanes, and so often they are in conjunction with certain things that go in our life. When you look through Scripture, and God is trying to get our attention with one reason or another, with certain things, and we look at the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the churches, each one ends, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I've been told this so many times growing up. You've been given two ears and only one mouth. So we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. But it's also true of husband and wife a lot of times. I've heard it said, are you even listening to me? Well, I hear you talking, but I don't really know what you're saying. God's doing the same thing. We have His Word. We have example after example after example of what He has done through history. I mean, the children of Israel, they had just been brought out of Egypt. They're standing at the Red Sea. They knew what God did. Pharaoh didn't listen to God. But they were delivered. They're standing there, and yet they start grumbling already. And they're like, wait a minute. God just delivered us. He's going to do it again. And He wants to do that for us all the time. So if you will, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah this morning, we're going to go through, it's a very short book, only four chapters. We're going to try and hit the whole book this morning. But it's, like I said, it's not very long. It's only 48 verses from start to finish. But I think God was asking Jonah the same question that He's asking us this morning. Are you listening? God's speaking. Sometimes He speaks through a hurricane, and Hurricane Helene just came through and did massive damage. But yet God is so long-suffering that He allows America to drift away from Him before bringing destruction. And so we're thankful, so thankful for those that He spared. We're thankful for the fact that even though there is major destruction, God's trying to get our attention. Our country is drifting away, it seems like, from Israel. But yet, God's trying to get our attention. And here we're going to look through these four chapters here this morning. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity, Lord, to open up the Word of God. Such familiar stories, but Lord, we can always get something new out of it. And Lord, I just ask that You would speak to my heart, and Lord, I ask that You would just get me out of the way so that we can hear what You have to say to us. And Lord, we ask that You would just draw us closer to You. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that is not saved, Lord, we pray that they would hear Your call this morning, and Lord, they would trust You before it's too late. Lord, be with Brother Sam and their family. Lord, as they're away from us, Lord, thank You for keeping them safe with the storm so far. Lord, we pray that You'd bring them back safely to us. Be with the services down there this morning. Be with him as he preaches. Lord, we just ask that You'd just be with the children's church, Lord, be with Brother Chad and Brother Nathan, Lord, the others that are dealing with the children. Lord, we pray for their souls as well. And Lord, just thank You so much for Your love, and thank You for what You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Jonah chapter number 1, first off, let's just look at verse number 1, and we'll see who's speaking. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So God is speaking. And what is God saying this morning? I mean, we can look through so many different options and things that churches and so-called religious institutions are involved with. God is not saying here to Jonah that you got to feed the hungry, you got to put clothes on those that are needy, you got to build homes for the homeless. So you're not going to do all of these things. What is the message that he has for Jonah? And it's the same message that he has for you and I today. Verse number 2, he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." This world is wicked. And for everyone that's in here that claims to know the name of Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in him, you have a home in heaven, your life is saved, sealed, secured. All of that is taken care of. But that same message is for you. It's not just for the prophet Jonah. It's not just for Brother Sam. It's for you and it's for me, every one of us today. We have this same message. We are supposed to go. Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, make Christ's last command our first concern. He said, then saith he to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He says in Mark 16, verse number 15, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is our responsibility. God is, it's not a suggestion. Hey, Jimmy, if you want to go visit or if you want to go talk to people about Christ, you go right ahead. It is a command. Bible tells us later, he says, these people that he was going to go to was Nineveh. Not the nicest of people. And you know, when we look around Murfreesboro or your community, wherever you live, the people that God has called each one of us to go and witness to and tell about Jesus Christ, they don't look like us. They don't sound like us. They don't smell like us. They don't walk like us. They don't act. They're not like us. I mean, they may have tattoos from top to bottom. They may have so many piercings. They may have green hair. But God expects us to go and tell them about Jesus Christ and what he has done for our life because he wants to save them. Jonah fled, though. Look at verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish. Notice this phrase, from the presence of the Lord. I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. We cannot get away from God. We cannot get away from what God has for us to do. And you know, he's going to convict our heart. We can try and run. We can try and hide. I remember hearing this so many times when, if I've done something wrong, when dad or mom came home, I would try to avoid them. Jonah's doing the same thing. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. But Jonah's thinking, you know what? I don't have to go to Nineveh. I'm going to go the other direction, and I'm going to do it in the right way. I'm not going to just go get on this ship and be a stowaway. He went down, he bought his ticket, and he's like, I'm going that direction. Jonah fled. Proverbs 14, and verse number 12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. We can't do our own thing and get away with it. Sin will take us farther than we want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, when we get away from God, it's not a sin of commission. We're committing something necessarily wrong. I'm not going out and committing robbery or murder. I'm doing something that God has said to do. I'm omitting that from my life. God said, I want you to go. Go to Nineveh. Go tell those people. And Jonah's like, no, I'm not going to do that. He tried to run from the presence of the Lord. It says that again also in verse number 10. But as Jonah is fleeing here, he's not listening to God. He hears what God says, but he's not listening. Let's see what else. The men here feared. Jonah goes down into the ship, and as you know, he's sleeping down there, and the storm is raging. They're throwing things off of the boat to try and keep it from sinking. They come down and they find Jonah sleeping. They're like, wake up, man. Pray to your God because maybe he'll save us. And if you notice earlier, they were all praying to their little g gods. But they come and tell Jonah, he said, that you need to call upon your God. And they're like, what are you doing down here? Who are you? What's going on? And I think it's interesting that Jonah, even though he knows he's not right, even though Jonah knows that the storm is his fault and God is trying to get his attention here, what does he say? He's like, who are you and what you doing? He says, I am an Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Almost like, no big deal. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I fear God. But at this point, the Bible says that then were the men exceedingly afraid in verse 10 and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, I've heard this so many times as well. Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk, your actions speak a lot louder than your words. People want to see you following God, not just the fact that here you're following God. Put on Facebook, well, I'm a Christian. Well, maybe, maybe not. You might be saved, but are you really acting like a Christian? Are you acting like Christ? Jonah here, even though he's not acting in the way God intended for him to act, the men still feared God. They had heard probably of the fact of the walls of Jericho falling. They had probably maybe heard of the fact of the Red Sea splitting and them crossing on the dry land. All of the things that God had done in the past, these men may have heard that. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. But what are we supposed to do? Be thou an example of the believers. Zach can do that, and so can I. And everyone in here, we are to be an example of the believers in word and conversation, in spirit and faith and purity. All of the things in our life that we are supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be walking and following Christ, because those things will cause men to fear God and to turn to him because of the way we're living. Jonah's not doing that. So Jonah's not listening to God, but the men did, and they feared. But the thing that amazes me here at the end is, at the end of chapter 1, God's speaking to Jonah. Jonah's not listening. And in my human mind, I'm thinking, all right, God, let him have it. But look at the very last verse. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish there 3 days and three nights. I sort of think it's interesting because the last of each one of these chapters sort of brings out something that, humanly speaking, would not be something that would occur to me. But yet, have you ever occurred that nothing ever occurs to God? He's already in tomorrow. He already knew what was going to take place. He said he prepared a great fish. He prepared a whale. The whale is feasting now. He swallowed up Jonah, and he's got Jonah for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. So God is speaking, and who listened? The men did, and so did the whale, but Jonah didn't. Let's go to chapter 2. In chapter number 2, we see that Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So who's speaking here? Jonah's speaking. And who's going to answer? Let's wait until the end of the chapter. But as we're going through, I'm so thankful that Jonah, here he realizes he knew the storm was his fault. He knew everything that was going on was his problem. And he says there in verse number 2, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You know, I'm so thankful that Jonah here, not only as he realizes his problem, he prays out of repentance. And then later in the chapter, he prays thanksgiving. Verse number 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Verse number 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. We may be a child of God. We may be saved. And I'm so thankful that even though all of my sins and the penalty of that sin was taken care of, I still sin daily. I still have times that I fall and fail in my life. And I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does that on a daily basis. So just as we need to wash our hands continually, we have to take a shower continually, brush our teeth continually. All of these things on a daily basis, the same is true of our spiritual life. We need to ask God, listen, Jonah was his prophet. But Jonah had to ask for forgiveness. And he, out of thanksgiving, he said, salvation is of the Lord. I'm so glad that even in the valley, God is there to hear. Even though the children of Israel were maybe far away from him, the Bible says he is always there and he's always going to hear. Isaiah 58 and verse number 9 says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. In Jeremiah 33:3, you've heard this voice, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jonah, at this point, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, down in the bottom of the sea somewhere, could have very well had a pity party and said, you know what? It's over. I've ruined my life, my example, my testimony. God's given up on me. It's over. But he prayed. And God is always closer than we think. I'm sure there's a lot of people now with this hurricane that's come through and they're out of power and maybe roads are closed and bridges are destroyed. Homes are gone. Churches are gone. But God is still close. In Psalm 145 and verse number 18, the Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In Psalm 23 and verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's so many things in our life that, you know what, Jonah here is in the belly of the whale. And yes, he is very far from God right now. His testimony is shot. These men probably think, who is this Hebrew? This guy says he's a prophet, but yet he's running from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah prays, and God answers. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. You know, there was a story about a young man that was doing children's church, and he was doing the story of Jonah, and he asked the kids what they learned about it, and the kid raised his hand and said, you know what, even a whale can't stomach a faulty preacher. So, I mean, that's so true in our life, but as they're going, the Bible says in Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God. In Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. When we are far from God, when we have things that are going wrong in our life, and when we've done wrong, or when things are going great, we need to come boldly into the throne of grace that we may find mercy in time of need. We don't understand the way God does things, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. In Isaiah 55, it says that, for as the higher heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts than my thoughts. I very well could have given up on Jonah at this point and said, you say you're a prophet. You're running from God. I told you to go do one simple job, and you didn't do it. But let's go to chapter 3, and God gives a second chance. So not only did God speak and God give his command in chapter number 1, what does he do here in chapter 3? He does it again. He didn't stray from that. He says in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. His commands do not change in our life. You know what? Maybe this past week, God laid on your heart to speak to someone or to do something, to read more scripture, to pray at a certain time, whatever it is that God laid on your heart to do, and you didn't do it. That command is still there. Starting today, going forward, let's work today to try and do that right. And so here he goes. God says, all right, Jonah, you messed up. You don't look the same now. I'm sure the gastric juices have made him lose all of his hair. Probably maybe dyed his skin or bleached it a different color, and he probably looks pretty rough, especially coming out with whale vomit. But God says, listen, I haven't given up on you, Jonah. I still have a purpose for your life. I still have something that I want you to do, and it's not changed. I want you to go to Nineveh. And so what do we see? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, when we look at this Nineveh and see how wicked of a city it was, and Jonah here now has decided he's going to go. And Jonah is going, even though he doesn't want to, he is going to some people that need the Lord. They're going to some people that are lost and on their way to hell. And God says, listen, I don't want anybody to perish. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem. That's your community where you live. And in Judea, that is maybe the county or state that you live in. But Nineveh was his Samaria. The enemies. Like I said, these people don't look and smell and act and talk and anything like us. But God has a desire to save everyone. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, God wants to save you today. God wants to save your soul so that he has a place in heaven for you if you'll trust him today. In Luke chapter 19, he says that for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we do see that Jonah went. And Jonah arose, verse number 3, and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began, as you know, he comes walking into the city. He's about a day in. And I don't know how Jonah was with his preaching here. Because he thought Nineveh deserved the punishment that God had for them. And so he could have been very excited and thinking, you know what? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He's like, good God, let them have it. But I'm going to still give the message, but they deserve everything. Or he could have been, you know what? If he believed God and believed about all the attributes of God that he knew, he might have been very calm so that they didn't hear, so that they wouldn't be saved. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And I think both of those can go because of that term overthrown there. It's a Hebrew word that means two different things. It's used in Genesis when they talk about the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, overthrown. And Jonah could have very well been thinking, you know, that's great. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is what's going to happen in Nineveh. I want it to be overthrown. But that Hebrew word is also used to describe what happened to the rod when Moses threw it down and it turned. It changed into a serpent. That same term is used when the water turned to blood. It changed. And so Jonah may be going through thinking, all right, I want them to be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. But God may have been thinking, and what really happened was the fact that they changed. Let's look at this. Continuing on, Nineveh repented. He preaches here, like I said, 8 words. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast to put on sackcloth. And then we look down in verse number 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed, published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered in sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. This sounds like 2 Chronicles 7:14. And when God's talking to us, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. If we want God to work in our lives as a church, we've got to turn from our wicked ways. We can look out at the world and say, man, they really need to change. The change needs to happen here. If the change doesn't happen here, it's not going to happen out there. And so the king here, a wicked man in a wicked city, believed this 8-word sermon that Jonah is giving. And he's like, listen, don't eat, don't drink, turn from your wicked ways, call on to God so that he will, what does he say? That he will repent. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? What do you mean repent? That almost sounds like God changes his mind, but the Bible also tells us that God never changes. When you think about the sovereignty of God and all of his other attributes and everything about him, think about railroad tracks. They're always the same distance apart. They never touch. God is sovereign and can do anything he wants to, anytime he wants to. I mean, before we were given the Holy Spirit in Acts, then John and his parents were both filled with the Holy Ghost. So God can do whatever he wants to, and his attributes do not change, and he doesn't change. Because the long-suffering of God comes into effect there. Yes, he was going to destroy Nineveh. But if they turn from their wicked ways, God says, you know what, I'm going to be long-suffering, I'm going to hold that back, and I'm going to give them some salvation. And so they turn, and in verse number 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I'm so glad that God is a long-suffering God. And you know, so we see in chapter 1 that God was speaking and Jonah didn't listen, but the whale did. In chapter 2, I'm glad that Jonah prayed and that God will hear his prayer, and he hears our prayers too when things are going wrong, when things are going great. God hears our prayers. In chapter 3, we see God speaking again, and who heard? It was the city of Nineveh. And many of them trusted God because of the message that they heard. In chapter number 4, God spoke again. Jonah prayed. Jonah prays again. But this prayer is much different. This prayer is filled with resentment and bitterness and anger, and he's mad at God. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my own country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah's saying, back in chapter 1, the reason I fled was because, God, I knew that you were going to save these people. Even though you told me to go and they were going to be destroyed, I knew that. But this entire time, these three chapters, we have seen these things shown in Jonah's life. Self-righteous, all this stuff, but God was gracious to Jonah. God was merciful to Jonah. God was slow to anger with Jonah. He was of great kindness to Jonah. And he repented. He changed. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah's mad here. God's still working in Jonah's life. As we look through, there's so many things that God is still preparing in Jonah's life, even though God could very easily said, sorry, Jonah, you're gone. You've been a hindrance to me way too long, and you're done for. I'm going to put you on the shelf. I'll find me somebody else to go talk to Nineveh. But as he prepared the whale, he also prepares, look at verse number 6. Jonah goes out of the city. He's so mad. He sits on the east side. He gets under a booth. And he's basically, I think, sitting there in the stands just waiting to see and hoping that God will send down fire and brimstone and destroy Nineveh. But it doesn't happen. But God prepares a gourd to give him some shade from the sun. And then the very next verse, God prepares a worm to come and kill that gourd. And then God prepares in the following verse, number 8, that God prepares a wind to come and basically cause some hindrance to Jonah. And all of these things, Jonah should have turned like Job and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nothing in my life was anything that I deserve. Jonah should have said, you know what? This is great. And all these things, God's given me so many opportunities, and I'm going to bless him for that. But instead, after all of this, God says unto Jonah, he says, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. You're justified being mad about a gourd being killed and your shade is gone? I'm sorry, Jonah. You're mad about a gourd and you're mad at me because of what I have done to save Nineveh. If we're not careful, we can allow that bitterness to get in our life as well. We can look at people that maybe have done us wrong. And we can look at them and we can allow this resentment and bitterness to just dwell up. And we can almost say, God, just let them have it. But we got to get that out, because we can be just like Jonah. And when the verses in Ezekiel, God says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. But I found none. God here is looking at the end of the chapter. He's asking him. And he goes on to say in verse number 10, then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000, 120,000 individuals that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? He poses a question to Jonah, and what's missing? There's no answer. What happened to Jonah? Who knows? I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap for the land, but I found none. It's not Nineveh today. It's Murfreesboro. It's Manchester. It's Lebanon. It's Nashville. It's Smyrna. It's wherever you live. God is looking and expecting the child of God to be that one to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap, to tell them about Christ. I'm guilty. I don't tell everyone that I should, as much as I should, about what God has done in my life. I'm guilty like Jonah, but I don't want to be like Jonah in the fact that God asks a question and says, hey, Jonah, where's your answer? And there's no answer. God is speaking today. Are you listening? There's a well-known game that is played every New Year's Day on college football. It's the Rose Bowl. Back in 1929, Georgia Tech was playing California. And a very famous event took place during this game was there was a fumble in the first half, and a man by the name of Roy Riggles picked up the ball, somehow got confused, maybe he got bumped, who knows what, but he grabbed that fumble and he started running towards the end zone. But he was running the wrong way. He ran for 65 yards, almost scored, but his teammate tackled him about the 2-yard line before he scored for the other team. They had to punt. Punt got blocked, and so there was a safety. At halftime, it's 2-0. Georgia Tech's ahead. They go into the locker room, and you know most coaches at halftime, they've got a lot of words, and they've got this great inspiring speech that they're going to give to the team. And everybody's thinking, what is he going to say to Roy Riggles? What is he going to do? He's a main player. He should be, what's he going to say? How are they going to use him in the second half? The coach comes in. He's quiet. Doesn't say a whole lot. Roy Riggles is sitting over in the corner all by himself. And he's just sitting there. Finally, with 3 minutes left before halftime is over, the timekeeper comes in and says, you got 3 minutes. Well, coach says, all right. Everybody who started the first half is going to be starting and playing the second half as well. Let's go get them. So they all took off out of there. Roy did not leave. He sat over there in the corner all by himself. Coach comes over and he's like, Roy, did you not hear me? Come on, let's go. He said, coach, I can't go. I've ruined my name. I've ruined the reputation. I've ruined you. I've ruined this game. Coach encouraged him, basically giving him the knowledge that, yes, we're down 2-0, but it's only halftime. The game is only half over. Regardless of what you have done in the first half, that is not going to have to determine that's how you're going to be in the second half. So Roy went out there, and Georgia Tech, they ended up winning the game by a difference of 1 point. But they were, all those players said they have never seen someone play like Roy Riggles did in that second half. If you're a child of God today and you've been saved, and God works in your hearts in so many different ways. If you've been saved, God is speaking through Scripture. Sometimes it's a hurricane. Sometimes it's a still small voice. But are we listening to Him? Secondly, if you've never been saved, God speaking to you. Just like He had desired for all of those in Nineveh to be saved, God has a desire for you to be saved as well. To put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because He died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross so that you could be saved, so that we could have that home in heaven. But you know, His long suffering only lasts till a point. The longest person that ever lived on this planet was Methuselah. And it was told and known that when Methuselah died, judgment would come. And I believe that's the main reason why Methuselah is the oldest person, because God is showing His long suffering. He's like, I'm going to hold it out as long as I possibly can. But you know what? At some point, judgment will be coming. And everyone will stand before Christ one day. And if you've never been saved, even though He's paid for it, you're not going to be able to go to heaven. If we could have every head bowed, every eye closed before we go. Father, thank You so much for this morning. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, we do thank You for each one that is here. Lord, we thank You for the visitors. Lord, we pray that You'd be with those that couldn't be here. Lord, we think of Miss Sumner. Lord, had to leave because she's not feeling well. Lord, we pray that You'd just help her to feel better. Lord, be with those that are away. Lord, give them safety as they travel back. Lord, this morning as we look through Scripture, and Lord, even the most familiar story of Zacchaeus or John 3:16, whatever it is in the Bible, Lord, we're thankful that it can be new and fresh every single day. And Lord, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would help each one of us to open our ears and to listen to what you have for us today. Lord, maybe as you're here today, Lord, we just ask that you would, once again, if there's someone that's lost that needs to be saved, we pray that they would trust you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you this morning would be willing to say,